I'm from Australia. I grew up in Townsville in North Queensland. Townsville's tropical. We grew pineapples, mangoes, pawpaws, bananas in our backyard. You sleep between two sheets with a mosquito coil going, and the top sheet's to keep the mosquitoes off, not to keep yourself warm. I had one jumper when I was a kid. That's a jersey, and if I was to describe it now, I'd say it was actually a sweatshirt, and I wore that jumper maybe three mornings a year when I grew up. In 1976, our family decided we'd go on our last family holiday together. My eldest sister had already left home. My next sister had finished her first year university. I was 16 at the time, so I was still in high school. And I had a younger brother. So there were five of us, three kids and my parents. And we had this really exciting holiday planned. We were going overseas to a different country. And in 1976, that was quite an adventurous thing to do. And the different country we went to was New Zealand. And it was great. We had 6 weeks, 3 weeks in the North Island and 3 weeks in the South Island. We had a tent. It was a four-person tent. It slept the five of us. We had one of those little gas cookers with a billy and a fry pan which barely balanced on the top. And that's all Mum had to cook with for 6 weeks for the five of us. And we used to camp for maybe three or four nights and then we'd stay in a motel so we could do the washing, and we might even, if we were really lucky, be able to watch TV for an hour or two. The first night camping is really memorable to me. We flew into Auckland and set off north of Auckland. We're looking for somewhere to camp and there's all these farms. And eventually we said, oh, Dad, you'll just have to go in and ask a farmer. And the farmer said, yes, you can camp down in the front paddock. So we set up our tent in his front paddock and had tea and went to bed. And we woke up in the morning and there's about 100 dairy cows all with their heads over the fence looking at us very carefully. And I'm sure they'd never seen a camper before in their lives. So we had 2 weeks north of Auckland and then we went south and we saw the boiling mud and geysers in Rotorua. And that was pretty amazing to me, because to think of the earth in a young country where it's dynamic, it was quite incredible. But what impressed me most on that trip were the glaciers when we eventually came down here to the South Island. I had a little Kodak Instamatic camera. This was in the days of film. And I'd taken maybe 10 photographs up to that point. But on the glacier, I took a whole roll of film, 24 pictures, because the idea of a flowing river of ice was absolutely unbelievable to someone who'd grown up with pawpaws and mangoes in their backyard. So that was my first introduction to glaciers. The next time I saw glaciers was when I was in Antarctica in 1983, when I started doing my PhD studies at the University of Adelaide. I went down to Mawson, one of the Australian stations. Now, in Antarctica, your camping starts with field training. In field training, you're taught how to self-arrest to stop falling into crevasses. You're taught how to rescue people out of crevasses. You're taught how to make a shelter in snow or ice in case you get caught out without a tent. So they're expecting you to camp out if you go to Antarctica. You can't avoid it, and there are no motels to stay in. So that's one of the basics you're taught. For me, my first couple of trips to Antarctica was to Mawson Station, and we had dogs there. And the highlight of running with the dogs was being able to camp out with them. You took a sled and put all the gear on it, and you had a tent and a polar pyramid tent. The dogs pulled all that, and you put the tent up and camp in it. And it was just an amazing way to see the environment down there. So the important things are food and water and shelter. The best water in Antarctica is the old iceberg water. When you chip it off and put it in a pot and it melts, it pops and crackles and it really comes to life, and it's the compressed air escaping. In my last winter in Antarctica, I was at Davis and they didn't have dogs there anymore. But one night camping is really etched in my mind there. And that was when we were trying to get a photograph of a reflected aurora. So you have to have water. And at Davis, there's hypersaline lakes that are very salty, so they don't freeze. So it is a chance to see reflections in the water. You need no sun and no moon. And you also need aurora to get that sort of photo. So we waited for a day when there was no wind and we went out. And we were camping. It was minus 27 degrees Celsius. We didn't want to put up a tent because if the tent was up, we wouldn't see the aurora. And if you bivvy out, the light in the sky will wake you up. It's so bright. It was the only time in Antarctica where I slept in the clothes that I was in. We always changed into warm, dry clothes because they keep you warmer than the clothes that you've spent your whole day in. But that night, boots and all in the sleeping bag so that you could just get straight up and take your photo and go back to bed. I enjoyed my camping in Antarctica. And I've often wondered whether those first camping trips that I did with my parents, when we came here and saw the glaciers, whether that actually had an impact on me later deciding that, yes, I would go on and go to Antarctica and do it, or whether it just would have happened anyway. Or maybe it was just that going with my parents on those camping trips instills in you that call of the wild that you feel of needing to go out into those environments.